My buddy Blois Olsen joins us now with Morning Take. Good morning, Blois. Did you have a BlackBerry?
Good morning, Vanita. I did have a BlackBerry. I had a couple versions of the BlackBerry, and I was a happy BlackBerry user for a long time, but I waited till the second generation of iPhone.
Okay.
And then switched pretty hard and have upgraded every other or every, third iPhone since then.
Well, we've been talking about the end of the BlackBerry. It's ending today, and we're wanting people to text us, 651-461-9226, if they are still hanging on to one and why. I'm curious. There's such a pressure to always upgrade.
Yeah, I think it was the first device that, distracted us during that meeting or allowed us to really send emails. We could send texts before, but the responding to emails, I think, did change business behavior for sure.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I want to ask you about a story that broke last night. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate will vote soon on easing filibuster rules in an effort to advance stalled voting rights legislation. And this is kind of evolving on the kind of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Schumer says the rule changes are needed to protect the nation's democracy. What kind of an impact will this have?
You know, I think it's been growing and building. There was a sense that this would come about. Senators like Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith have kind of started to, I'd say, evolve their positions on the filibuster. I think that it's going to just further polarize Washington, D.C. And if they use the filibuster, especially on voting rights legislation, that's going to become, kind of a theme for 2022 to 2024. Senator Klobuchar is front and center on that voting rights legislation. I know you're talking to her at 6:50. But Democrats feel that is one of the top two or three things that they have to figure out in Congress right now in order to kind of give their base and give the country some momentum towards Democrats. And obviously Joe Biden's approval has suffered. And so that's one of the reasons they look at it as, an issue that they is populist, let's just say.
Absolutely. I was talking to Governor Walz yesterday, and we were talking, I asked him about testing, and he pointed to the fact that the testing shortages, the long lines that we're seeing out there are due to supply chains strained nationally, which we know is out there. And then also just not enough people to be at these clinics to operate because of Omicron and people testing positive for COVID, so not as many workers. At some point, though, is there going to be pressure to say, you got to do something about this because the at-home tests, everything, it's just hard to find right now?
I think there definitely is going to be pressure for them to do more. But I also think that you look at the next 4 to 6 weeks, if there is this, quote, blizzard, as Michael Osterholm said, for the last few weeks, if there isn't enough testing, if the symptoms are not severe and people are not, really that sick, do people kind of throw up their arms and maybe give up? Or, the confusion about, what is the guidance? Is it 5 days? Is it 10 days? Where are we at with this stuff? I just think that social psychology says that if your symptoms aren't bad, people are going to go about their life. They're going to start to go about their life no matter what. Because if they can't get a test, they're going to say, well, I don't know. And if I don't feel bad, I'm not going to stay home. I think, we're kind of divided in these different pots of your COVID journey. And I was talking to somebody about this last night. If I don't have symptoms, but you're still asking me to test, and I know that if I get a positive test, even though I'm asymptomatic, that's going to shut me down for 5 days, I'm probably less likely to get a test. And I think that as we come out of the holidays were a motivating factor to test before you saw loved ones, and they're a motivating factor to test after. But after that, I don't know how much motivation there is unless you're really sick. So we'll see. I think the next 6 weeks are going to prove to be very, very telling in the mood of Minnesota and the mood of America on COVID.
We've been so focused, Blois, on this $7.7 billion budget surplus number, $7.7 billion. But actually, some economists are saying it could be a little bit lower than that. Is that right?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, tax collections coming at the end of the year. And remember, that forecast is the forecast for the full biennium. So that's through July of 2023. So that's not like right now sitting in the bank. Jim Showalter, when I had him on Sunday Take, said, look, we have an extra $4 billion in the bank right now. But you add the infrastructure bill, you add the ability to bond and borrow, and that being, you know, a priority of the legislature, there's going to be plenty of money. But it's not going to be, you know, free candy for everybody. I think there's going to be bipartisan tension over how to spend that money. And I hate to say it this way, but, you know, $5 billion goes pretty quickly at the Minnesota legislature these days.
It can go very fast. Absolutely. Thank you, Blois. Where can we find your fabulous Morning Take?
Just go to fluence-newsletters.com or search Morning Take on Facebook and Twitter, and you can get it right there.
Great. Great to talk to you, Blois.